Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, I don't want to sound full of myself or rude, but you ain't listening to no other dudes, because you love me, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's good to have you here. The best part of your week has arrived, methinks not. let's meet the Ramblers. My name's Marcus, of course, and we've got Pete.
Hello, Marcus.
Luke.
All right.
And Jim.
Hello.
Bloody good to have you here, boys.
It's good to be here.
All is one. In it together.
Yeah. Got nothing better to do.
In it together.
Look at my jumper, Marcus.
Oh, I like that. It rides all the way up.
I put it on a hot wash.
Yeah.
What an idiot.
Wore it anyway. Yeah.
Right then. Hang on. David Cameron stepped in.
Uh-oh, what, in the room right now?
Well, you'd certainly know about that, wouldn't you? He plans
Big
to change.
Villa fan. Massive Aston Villa fan, David. Yeah. Loves his football.
Isn't Prince William a Villa fan?
Yeah, and Tom Hanks as well.
All of them.
All the royals.
Yeah.
he plans to change the law to allow pubs to open later for fans to watch England's late kickoffs in the World Cup.
Oh, what a good bloke.
Yeah.
We can all agree he's got the best interests of the country at heart. What a lovely man.
Is there an election coming?
I heard that wasn't he going to reduce the amount of hours that were going to be open?
Well, they're at the other end, so they open at two, maybe. It's just a sliding scale.
I heard
scale.
The complete opposite story. Never mind.
No, I don't want to get too... Obviously, no one wants to get too deep into the politics of it.
Yes.
But I think the Home Office initially rejected the idea.
They did.
And right.
David Cameron...
Seized the opportunity.
The hot potato of politics was thrown over to David Cameron, and he's...
And he ignored it and talked about this.
Oh, no, I forgot. I'm a Villa fan. Yes, I will definitely do it.
James Milner still plays for them, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Rob, well, if you could change or implement a law in England during the World Cup, what would it be? Jim first, mixing
it
up.
Not just for the World Cup. I think this is something that should be across the board as a new law. But the World Cup, you know, people are going to be out and about. It's going to be the summer. It's going to be busy. Right. I think if you get on a train, right, and it's busy and someone sat in the aisle seat and they've left the window seat free, that becomes a crime. And if you're convicted of that, you have to live in the sea.
Yeah?
Well, annoying.
Well, it's submerged by water, you can be on
If you need that much room, then you can have the ocean, it's bigger.
But what happens if they volunteer to move across when you...
£1,000 fine and a letter.
Okay.
What happens if they are very absorbent?
Much more progressive, I have to say.
Was this on all trains?
Absorbent?
This is on all trains, did you say?
On all trains.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. I mean, if there's, you know, if there's seats elsewhere, fair enough.
Yeah.
But, you know, otherwise, just stop being so selfish.
Yeah. If anyone's listening from overseas, trains are a big deal in England. so that is a very, very relevant thing.
Yeah. An Englishman's home is his train.
Yeah.
That's the saying.
Yeah, we all had a train
saying. Day saying.
Luke.
Yeah, I've gone down a slightly different route. what sort of band, in terms of musical artist, do you think of when you think of summer?
Ocean Colour Scene.
Incorrect.
Will Smith and Jazzy Jeff.
And we are going to stay here until it's done.
The Beach Boys.
Correct. The Beach Boys is the correct answer, Jim. Well done.
Oh, right. Jim, we could have had loads more fun with that.
We could have, sorry.
One of the things that has infiltrated football in this country...
Shakademus and Plyde.
No, you've got it right with Beach Boys. Leave it there.
Dodgy.
Right. One of the things that's infiltrated football games around the country, too much in my opinion...
Not a band.
...is the songs... that go to the tune of Sloop John B.
Yeah,
a traditional folk song made famous by the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
They've just got lazy now. Every single football chant goes to the theme tune of Sloop John B.
Which is, for those who don't know...
I wanna go home,
home. Yeah.
That one, right? It's got too much. It's enough. It can't happen anymore. It needs to be outlawed. It needs to be made a crime.
Mm.
And the moment any set of fans sing it in a pub or a stadium or anything, they should be immediately banned with one of those Home Office banning orders.
Yeah.
And they can never watch any football ever again.
Yeah.
I think it's the only way to nip it in the bud. In fact, they can't nip it in the bud because it's gone on too long. It's the only way to cut the head off the beast.
So you're looking at like retroactive action now.
They're not even
retrospective action.
I think we draw a line. We say, look, fill your boots for now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's gone too far already.
But when that World Cup starts,
as soon as the first ball is kicked,
as soon as Pitbull starts his opening chorus.
I love football songs. I think the best can be brilliant, witty, very incisive, excellent.
Mm.
Just up your game. Just up your game.
Yeah.
And if you stop, just £1,000 fine. How's that?
No, I want to be more restrictive than that.
You're not allowed to look at anything circular.
I think, but the campaign would be called Up Your Game.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay,
Shut Up Your Game.
Yeah.
I think that's an excellent one.
Thanks.
Pete.
If a little draconian.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
Coming from
making
trainer.
People live in the sea.
Trainer.
Go on.
Makes it sound like an idiot savant. You know everything about trains.
But it's better than seaman, which is also an option.
With your trident.
Go on then.
If I could change or implement a law in England, it would be the reintroduction of the Corn Laws, Marcus.
Yeah.
Fuck the Chartists.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Fuck Robert Peel's sliding scale.
Careful, yeah.
Yeah. Forget it.
Yeah, I like that.
I just let all the corn in. Let all the corn in. Don't care.
I mean,
cheaper prices for all.
Uh-huh. Just the Importation Act 1815 in general.
Yeah,
for me.
Just out.
I mean, if you're going to be specific,
out.
Then the corn's
free trade. People,
Speed
free
Google.
Trade.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there a hidden agenda here?
No.
Never a hidden agenda on the forum.
The Peterloo Massacre changed a lot in my life. I know that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's a I mean, that is an actual. He's talking proper laws here, people.
Yeah.
Mm. He's brought out the legal card.
Yeah.
As always.
Yeah.
I think I would go for, during the World Cup, if anybody is wearing an England shirt, or any team's shirt who are playing at the World Cup, then you are allowed to approach them and demand that they sing Pitbull's World Cup song in its entirety.
Yeah. What if they don't do it?
£1,000 fine. and live in the sea.
It's the answer to everything. I don't know why successive governments haven't thought about this.
Get in the sea.
Yeah.
David Cameron, if you're listening and you want any more tips on how to run the country, let us know.
Yeah, that's what I do. So every football fan would go out, have to learn the song.
Yeah,
and you could always he'll do a Spanish version and Spanish version as well.
I mean, I presume
if you're being harsh.
Is this song being released? I presume it's terrible.
No, but he's obviously doing the.
Yeah,
World
no,
Cup
but
song.
Has he released it? Or anything?
I don't think
I won't be out yet. No.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah. So I think that's a good four to choose from.
What I like about this is like David Cameron's going, I've already knocked off the Sikhs this week.
Yeah. I
can't just upset everyone and say everyone's got to live in the sea.
I don't think he's listening because, and this is a bit of a shot in the dark, but at a stretch, I don't think he really likes football.
I thought you were going to say because Villa aren't getting a mention this week.
No, are they not? Oh, well, no. Don't say that. The fans will turn off now.
I always send him the running order.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I reckon they should rename his favourite club to the Ballingdon Club.
Yeah, I like that. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If he likes football so much, you should do that, David.
Yeah.
Hey.
Luke's got the points.
Thank you very much. I wasn't expecting that. I was about to make a gag that I'm pointless like Newcastle.
Oh,
that doesn't work now.
Yeah.
Well, Newcastle we're safe from relegation, well. So yeah.
I'm pointful like Sunderland.
Good. Right, are we ready to move on?
I think we have been for some time.
Unfortunately.
Shall we just give this up? I put the faders down. We just got our separate ways.
I can't go
we
on
We should
longer.
Probably take the word football out of the title this week.
Yeah. Law ramble.
Well then, Premier League, it happened. Manchester City 0, Chelsea 1. A wonderful game of football that I really, really enjoyed. And I bloody well predicted that would happen.
Did you?
Yeah, I predicted 1-0. Check my Twitter feed if you don't believe me.
I believe you.
So up all of yours. Mm. And
this show's a matter of public record. I know you
didn't you tweet
about.
All of the different kind of scores and quite deleted them?
No, I didn't do that, Peter.
He stopped doing that.
But that's a good idea for next time. Jose Mourinho was giving it the big one all week about City. I love it. Mourinho's come into his own. He's been a little bit funny this season. He's not quite, I don't know, got his feet under the desk at Chelsea as much as we thought he would straight away, considering that he's come home, Marini home, if you remember. But he has been giving it the big one. And what I loved as well is he was saying, you know, City are title favourites. They've got wonderful credentials and they've blah, 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 blah. Yeah, not done that great in Europe. But I mean, still great side, great side. Uh-huh. You know, all this kind of stuff, just really backhanded compliments.
He was also talking about how they don't have the financial muscle to compete with City, which is just grotesque.
Yeah. And he was bringing in the financial fair play. Yeah. They, I mean, they're a great side. They've got loads of.
I mean, we're trying to honour it.
Might struggle with that little thing there. But apart from all that, you know, he really, really was giving it some.
Everything's a mind game, isn't it? No matter what they do.
That's true.
I'd like to know the point in which mind games, in quotes, cross over the threshold into just talking nonsense.
Just any
that
sort
was
of
nonsense.
Well, the football ramble is a big mind game.
Any sort of abusive comment, I'll push your kids in the sea. Mind game. I've shot in your freezer. Mind game.
Yeah. Because what the media don't. I mean, obviously, we all know the media absolutely love Mourinho, and everything he does is great as far as they're concerned.
So he was good value this week.
Which is fair enough.
In Spain or Italy, there'd be mobs outside his house, burning the street down
at the training ground. But, you really need to, I think, people really lot into this mind game stuff, especially the press. And what you really need to, I think, fully realise is it's only a mind game if it gets under the skin of the opposition manager, right? Yeah. So who are his targets in this then? His targets are Arsene Wenger, Emmanuel Pellegrini. Is Arsene Wenger going to take him? No, it's definitely not. Mm. Is Pellegrini possibly? We don't really know yet.
Kevin Keegan, collateral damage.
Yeah, Keegan. Keegan would be apoplectic
in bits.
Yeah, on a 1970s racer bike, just riding it really fast towards Mourinho's house, fuming, with like smoke coming out of his ears.
Fall off it though, just before he got there.
And then just go, I'm fine, it's fine, I'm fine, I'm fine.
I miss Rafa Benitez's mind game.
Did
he just wind himself up in his own press conference?
He actually said it, didn't he? What did Benitez say? He actually referenced, he said, I'm not going to get involved in the mind games just yet or something. And you're like,
you've just massively underwritten your eventual mind games.
When they get into war games, I'm going to be worried.
Exactly.
Hacking into mainframes.
And that could, with Abramovich's and City's owner's wealth, that could happen.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be better, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Imagine that.
Mm. But tactically, Mourinho got it spot on.
Magnificent.
Didn't he?
Yeah,
they were just better across the pitch.
But did you see him in the press conference after? We talk about the cat that got the cream. My goodness, sat there. Yeah. Well, we love the big games. We love the big games.
Jim, that's what Jonathan Wilson said in his column about it, actually. Chelsea were just better. Comment.
That's all it was.
Tactic insight.
No, but they were just across the pitch. I mean, it was unusual that Demichelis played it in the midfield, but Matic just shut down City's midfield.
And
they hit the woodwork three times.
Demichelis was terrible.
Yeah, he was.
Like, he just let everyone maraud through him.
Did you not feel a bit sorry for him? Because Atore,
it's a ponytail, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you love a man with a ponytail.
Chop that off. Oh, friend of the Ramble, Rupert Fry, said that Pellegrini, I think it was Pellegrini who was saying, that had him at River Plate and deployed him as...
Did he not have him at Malaga as well?
Maybe. Right. As a defensive midfielder or a Pac-Man, as apparently they call it in Argentina, gobbling up the loose
ball. Yeah, I've heard that before.
That is wonderful.
I've heard that before.
I've never heard that. That's great.
I thought that, you're right, I think...
So he's got a previous playing there for the manager.
A couple of points on City is that, for me, is that Yaya Toure can't continue... I just think Yaya Toure approached the game where he wanted to play exactly the same game he normally plays.
Yeah, but look, I'd love 11 liabilities like that.
With Fernandinho, he was acting like he had Fernandinho in there and he didn't.
Right? Yeah,
so he almost relinquished his responsibility. And so, and Demichelis struggled because he's out of position. Now, of course, Demichelis has played there occasionally in the past.
He's a defence-minded player.
He is. But Jack Rodwell was on the bench. What I've been told to believe is that Jack Rodwell wanted to go back to Everton on loan on deadline day and City blocked it. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but if that is true, if you're Jack Rodwell, you must be thinking, well, hang on a minute. Yeah. You don't want me to go. You won't let me go. Mm. You put me on the bench for the whole of one of the biggest games of the season and play someone out of position ahead of me. I mean, fair enough if Jack Rodwell isn't in the same league as Fernandinho, but he is a defensive midfield player and he can play in that role.
Yeah, he didn't have a great time against Watford, though, did he?
I think it's a clear sign that Pellegrini doesn't have faith in him, but they want the bodies in there. I mean, they don't want to leave themselves without any cover should they get a sort of raft of injuries.
But I thought it was a strange one because I thought it was... You know, when I predicted a 1-0, the reason for that was because it was quite fairly obvious I thought that was going to happen because Chelsea, on paper, are better at the back and probably better in midfield than the Manchester City. Certainly more solid. And Mourinho said the other week, didn't he, it's easy to go and get a 1-0. And I thought they'll just soak it up.
And it was a perfect blueprint of how to play Man City at home. pack the midfield just in front of the D, and then just counter-attack. And
sometimes that's easier said than done, though, but you yourself have been
not
saying...
Not when you're as quick as me.
Yeah, well, you yourself have been
not
saying...
Not when you're a pace merchant.
Well, you yourself were saying, Pete, in the last few weeks that they're not completely infallible. They've had their dodgy-looking games, and they've actually been caught out now. And I think it's a sign to the rest of the league that it can be done, and maybe it'll knock their own confidence.
Yeah, but that's what John Terry tried to say afterwards, which I thought was very cute, actually.
What was that?
Well, John Terry's having an excellent season, and as Pete says, the way they sat so deep, it played into John Terry's hands. John Terry said afterwards, he said, maybe we've shown a few other teams that you should nothing to be scared of, and you can actually go there and beat them, which is a great thing to say, because it's the aura of them and the amount of goals they score, which teams are scared of.
And that would help Chelsea get enormously.
Massively, of course. Yeah.
And also, you mentioned Jonathan Wilson's article, which I read myself today, and he made an excellent point saying one of the reasons why Terry is looking very good again this season is because Mourinho, as we've seen when he was at Inter, likes to defend deep, and the game is happening in front of him rather than having to look behind and all that.
Like
kind
he
of
did
stuff.
With Samuel and Lucio and stuff. Yeah, Inter, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's
well, the key to that, in my view, is that of course, if you've got players that aren't very quick, then it makes sense to do that. Mm. But the key to that is having defences not only that can throw their neck on the line sort of thing, but actually players who are very comfortable and confident on the ball close to their own goal.
Yeah.
And you get a lot of defenders that aren't anywhere near confident enough with the ball at their feet.
Yeah.
And if you can find that combo, that's great. One of the things I wanted to say about Di Matteo quickly before I forget is that, obviously, none of us have played professional football or anything, but I've played defence, centre-back and centre-midfield as well before, just obviously at a slightly shit level. But but one of the things I found, and really like Di Michele's site found this as well, is that you're used to having like an 180-degree football match where everything is 180 degrees in front of you. Mm. And then all of a sudden, it's almost like a 2D person being put in a 3D world.
Yeah,
all of a sudden, everything's happening behind you as well, and it's very difficult to make an adjustment. And
Super Mario got in, get into it, so it's fine. He managed the conversion.
Indeed. So it's basically going from Super Mario Brothers to
N64,
Super Mario 64, basically. Right.
And then back to Paper Mario, because he was kind of 3D, 2D, 2.5D.
But seamlessly.
Yeah, and that's where
very
it
difficult.
Down.
But I think you're right. I think, Terry, listen, we're about to enter a phase of media, I warn you all now, where we are wading through endless piles of shit about John Terry going to the World Cup.
Mm.
It's about to happen.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm going to knee slide through all of it. Whee!
Yeah, I mean, but you can understand... obviously not as much as it will be, but you can understand it to a point, because Terry and Cahill do look like a very good centre-back partnership, and that's probably where England are at their
weakest. We've talked in the past about players like Francesco Totti not really wanting to play any part in the qualification campaign. And you have to admit, of course, there are politics behind John Terry not playing for England anymore, but it's sure as hell has helped his club career that he's not been part of that qualification campaign. Yeah.
It's also been interesting that, you know, we've not spoken about Terry in a long time, because he's been quite quiet of getting his head down, and just maybe that's a deliberate ploy
off the field, maybe.
Just maybe to make people think, you know what, he's not done anything twatty in a while. Mm. Give him another chance.
Mm. Yeah.
Maybe. The same way that Suarez has been on that PR campaign.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, hasn't he, though? Suarez.
Yes, he has indeed. Manchester City, I mean, it's the first time, I think, this season that they haven't scored at home.
It's the first time since
a long time.
I think it's the first time, and I'm sketchy on this, but I'm pretty sure it's the first time they haven't scored at home since November 2010.
Right, how's about
against
that?
Against Birmingham City, of all teams, I think.
That's a dirty stat. Dirty.
Yeah, naughty. But Ivanovic scored a great goal, and Chelsea should have had more.
Mm. City had a couple of chances as well.
They did. I mean, yeah.
Silva missed a few.
Aiden,
you would expect him to score.
I thought Aiden Hazard was absolutely superb.
Oh, he was.
You could actually... it's maybe one of the first times this season where I started to think, actually, Mourinho's bang on about Mata. Because those three that played...
That was mentioned, yeah.
Like Ramirez, Hazard and Willian. God, they are ruthless. Absolutely ruthless. There was one point where they had like a 4-1 break about 20 minutes in.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
That Chelsea... But this is what I mean, like, with Chelsea's midfield. They are technically very good. They are creative. They can score goals. They're skillful.
They're strong.
Strong. They're pacey. Yeah. I mean, how do you play against that?
I mean, Matic in there really, really adds a steel to it.
He
was absolutely superb.
Yeah.
Eto wasn't very good. He had one shot from like 25 yards.
He hit the bar, of course.
The thing of Eto is obviously he's not very quick anymore, but he's got that cuteness and that experience at the top level where he can bring other players in a little bit. I know what you mean. He's obviously not peak Eto, is he?
I think some of his runs, though, drag the defenders away to create space for the midfield, which is one of the reasons why a striker like that will always be quite handy in the kind of football.
He's made a contribution this season. I mean, he scored 7 or 8 goals.
He obviously scored against Manchester United as well. But it was incredible to see. And that's why I was slightly surprised maybe at City, because like I say, it was Chelsea were always going to have two midfielders in front of the back four, and then have Hazard. And who was it? Willian
and Ramirez.
And Ramirez. Yeah, I mean, I thought he might have started with Oscar instead of Willian, and the man up front. And I thought, with the four that the Manchester City have in midfield, you know, especially with Fernandinho out, they're always going to get overrun. So I'm surprised that he maybe didn't put three in there. You can say, yeah, but he's played that 4-4-2 with two strikers.
Do you think that maybe Man City don't know any other way of playing them?
Well, I think that's what he's done. I think he just thought, yeah, we're going to blow him away. And I thought after the Bayern game at home, now Bayern are probably the best side in the world at the moment. I thought he might have a little bit more in his tactical locker. But I just thought when Chelsea turn up, you know what they're going to do. You know how they're going to set out. And that should be enough, actually, to win. But I think Pellegrini had so much faith. And Aguero was out injured as well. I was just a little bit surprised that he didn't put the extra man in midfield to help out, especially as Fernandinho wasn't there. And it's, you know, it showed, didn't it?
But Chelsea were, I mean, to sum up, Chelsea were by far the better team. And the intensity they played with and the confidence. One of the things I love about Mourinho as a manager in terms of what he does on the pitch is that I love how he gets... First of all, I love that he's tactically quite versatile and he really relishes the big encounters, which I think is the hallmark of a good manager. But I also like the way he... Because John Terry, again, touched on this as well in his post-match interview where he said we've worked a lot on different things through the week. I love the way he can get his players to 100% believe in his aesthetic and believe in what he wants to achieve. And given that he's never really played the game at all before... and I think we've touched on this in the past. If someone like Kenny Dalglish walks into a changing room, you know, it's Kenny Dalglish, you know what I mean? It's the job of winning the players' respect, which is a massively important part.
It's Kevin Keegan,
it's done.
You know.
Yeah, well, it's done, isn't it?
Yeah.
But with Mourinho, he still manages to get really high-performing players at a very top level to buy completely into his sort of philosophy.
But also, he gets players at the top level, and Samuel Eto'o is a great example of this, to play out of position and put in a real shift. I mean, Eto'o has obviously played on the wing in a front three for Inter in the season where they won everything. And that's maybe one of the reasons why he was quite keen to get him in. Yeah. To help out this season, because he will do what adapt. Mourinho wants him to do.
Whenever you think of a Mourinho team, you always think of them as a unit. I mean, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo aside, maybe you don't really, it's the old cliche that Mourinho is the star, but it really rings true even in the way that the team play. They do seem
and
so
also the
united.
Players, the players seem to be happy with that.
Yeah, kind of takes the pressure off a little bit. I think one of the highlights of the match for me was the Etisalat advert on the advertising hoardings.
Oh, yeah.
It looked like the old Blockbuster.
I saw that.
Board.
Oh, I didn't see it.
It really made me want to watch Blockbusters.
Yeah.
But I didn't. I stayed to the end honest.
Has Blockbuster been remade with a new presenter? I think it
pretty
has.
Pretty much every idea like that's been redone.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of Robocop.
No, I think Pete's doing it.
His agent would have put him up for it.
Blockbusters is on challenge, so get involved, people.
You've already got a foot in the door there. Ask him about that. Do you know anyone there? Ask him.
Marvellous. Bloody marvellous. Oh, yeah, and going on that Mourinho theme, I did like what Ibrahimovic said in his book about him. He said, I love Mourinho. He's the leader of his army. You can just imagine that. He still thinks that Chelsea can't win the league this season.
No, he doesn't.
That's what he said.
Father under the aforementioned nonsense.
That's what he said. So it must be true. But I know Arsenal though, they're top of the league, and maybe that's why Chelsea won't win it. Thanks to a brace from Oxlade-Chamberlain, they're top of the league.
But if it was top of Man City and Chelsea, Arsenal are the top of the league.
Top of the league,
and they're winning.
Arsenal are happy with this. This is the thing. But the problem is, Arsenal have got these two horrible run-ins coming in, and everyone's just expecting the wheels to come off.
Yeah,
and there are a lot of injuries.
We said that before this season, though, Jim.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm delighted with Arsenal being viewed as underdogs, and I'm sure everyone at the club is as well. Arsenal function much better when that is the case. It's great to see Oxlade-Chamberlain come into the middle. So again, the squad is just is proving its own worth over and over again. Whoever's out, someone steps up and takes that place.
When I saw that game, and when I saw Oxlade-Chamberlain in the middle, I thought, I'm not sure about that, but it worked very well.
Old Southampton bias is there.
The problem
with that is same with James Ward-Prowse. They're both Pompey lads, but there's no academy at Pompey, so they just got lost to Southampton. Makes me sick.
Your own fault.
I think a lot of credit has to go to Arsenal in the summer for the players they got rid of, as well as the players they brought in, because you don't have the dead wood sort of cluttering up those positions.
The dead wood.
I mean, Kim Kjellstrøm looks like an excellent song.
Indeed.
What a strange run.
Now,
got a fractured spine.
Dear, I did. Moving on from Arsenal, though, in the North East derby. I mean, Sunderland used to be underdogs themselves when they went there, but now, my goodness, they're favourites, aren't they, every time?
I'm standing in a crowd of people in a onesie. the Newcastle ones are doing the 5-1.
Pete, were you
9-1?
A second 3-0 win.
You weren't up
St.
there
James's
for the game, were you, Pete?
No.
Okay.
Yeah,
I thought for some reason you might have been up there.
Sorry. Adam Johnson getting another one.
Really in form, isn't he? It's great. He's listening to us.
Newcastle possibly missing Kabaye big time already.
They sold him, Marcus.
Yeah, they lost 3-0 last time, and Kabaye was in the team.
That's true.
I mean, they are missing him, but I mean, I don't think that's. I'm not sure. Pardew just seems sort of really almost tactically.
Well,
he started
both Amiobis.
Oh, that's true. Actually,
to be fair,
yeah, but you don't win a game on novelty factor.
But that was the one thing that kind of made me a little bit sad, because I thought Sami Amiobi, I've never seen him have a particularly bad game for Newcastle United in the slightest, and I thought he started quite brightly on the left. We just got overrun and they just didn't look interested.
Sunderland are on the up at the minute,
and Sunderland are playing really well. Even like Altidore played really well, even though he's a much maligned striker at the moment. Mm. He missed a one-on-one situation that he really should have been putting away for 4-1 in the end. 4-0 in the end, but I just think Sunderland just look really, really good, and their manager's just got the matching of Pardew, and he just can't seem to. We've been beaten twice by Brighton and twice by Sunderland under that man, and he doesn't seem to be able to.
That's a good point. Actually, I didn't know that. I was going to say on that Sami Amiobi thing. I mean, he got dragged off at half time, I think.
Yeah,
I saw the game, and one player I think is really underrated is Phil Barnsley. Mm. I mean, he's in really good form at the moment.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
And he was up.
He's got a cracking goal at Old Trafford the other day, isn't he, in the league?
He was matched up against Sami Amiobi, and he just absolutely rinsed him, and obviously won the penalty, linked up with Johnson very well. Johnson's obviously in great form, confidence player, but also not only his confidence that Poyet has clearly instilled in him, but the way that Sunderland play under Poyet, I like to keep the ball, and that really suits him.
Well, Poyet's a good manager. We've seen the good job he did at Brighton, and he came in and had to really rebuild quite a lot. Mm-hmm. And now the fruits of that are coming through, aren't they?
It's a crazy season, because if you think it, like, people were writing off Sunderland,
yeah,
completely writing them off. They've got Hull at home this weekend. After this weekend, they could be mid-table.
Yeah.
They could be a mid-table side.
And they're in the final of a major competition.
That's right, that's right. Yeah, they're doing fantastically well.
Scenes.
West Ham.
Admittedly, after that, I do go to the Etihad, where they'll get absolutely rinsed.
West Ham won 2-0. And
a vicious assault from Andy Carroll.
Andy Carroll and Kevin Nolan linking up.
Yeah.
Lovely scenes.
Mm. Oh, like the sitcom flatmates they once were.
I know.
It's the ball up to the Carroll,
yep,
the Carroll nod down to Nolan, the Nolan finish, and the chicken. Everyone likes to see it.
Job done.
Like a Barcelona move under Guardiola.
Yeah.
In a different way.
A punt, nod, and a finish.
Yeah.
A
chicken.
Kevin
coming back off his winter break.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely right. He doesn't want to play over Christmas. We've seen how many times he gets sent off before the Christmas break.
My giddy aunt, before we go any further about West Ham, I completely forgot about Joe Kinnear.
He's gone.
Oh.
Judged on his signings.
Yeah.
Judge him on his signings.
And he was.
The no signings he brought in.
Can I ask?
The jury were out for far, far too long there.
Maybe he was brought in to be an interpreter for the deaf. And it's all just been horribly misunderstood.
Can I ask a semi-serious question of our resident Newcastle
fan? No, don't.
Yeah. Right. Is there any chance you think that Mike Ashley is essentially using Newcastle as a huge advertising vehicle for Sports Direct, to the point of where he just thinks any press attention is fine? So hiring to the extent of where he'll hire Kinnear because he knows he'll get a massive amount of press.
Yeah.
He'll fire Kinnear or get rid of Kinnear to resign without signing anyone, and everything about it is just
if you look around St James's Park, there are no other apart from Wonga and the required Barclays Premier League bits and bobs. It's all Sports Direct. It's all companies owned by Sports Direct. Now nobody's clear on whether Ashley's paying for that advertising back into the club, because those hoardings could be going to somebody else, presumably
for advertising their
products for money. He's got a big Sports Direct logo on the top of the stadium. It just seems to me that Kinnear is an ideal smokescreen for a man who is just trying to get as much money out of the club as he can. Really,
I thought that was
it must be working because he's been there for such a long time. You would think that it would be cheaper to just advertise. But
that said, though, I think even Mike Ashley was slightly surprised. Kinnear's complete idiocy. Yeah.
I could have told him that before he hired him.
I mean, it's not like he's not met him before.
Well, this idiot's an idiot.
Jim, you say that it's cheaper to advertise, but don't forget he's hoovering up all that Premier League TV money as
true.
Well.
True, very true.
Yeah, so he's probably more than paying for itself. Anyway.
And we're in the week where it looks like Cissé might go to Russia. He didn't fancy a move to Turkey, but it looks like he might be going to Russia. And I really feel sorry for Cissé as well, because we're going to make maybe 8 or 9 million off him, off a player that did so well the first season and a half that we had him. We ruined that football player. And Newcastle ruined that football player by playing some terrible high balls, treating him like a target man that he wasn't, and just completely destroyed any confidence he may have had. So good luck to him wherever he goes. Yeah. I just think we should be holding on to players like that, because who else have we got? Bloody Sholamiobi and, you know, De Jong, who's pretty much untested. He's young, but he's untested.
Well, Luke De Jong's hardly played.
Well, he played like 30-odd matches last season for like...
In the German league.
He's not played, hardly played this season.
No, he's hardly played this season. But, he scored 6 in 36. Now, that's not a striker's haul for me. And, you know, we still only got Loic Remy on loan. It's not looking too bright at all, unless this idea of Kinnear going is all about, trying to formulate a plan for the summer. But I don't see that happening at all. I see this as some kind of exit strategy for Ashley, because I think he might, he'll pick up Glasgow Rangers sooner rather than later.
The stat about Luke De Jong I read is that he's played, like, his last 8 appearances for Mönchengladbach, a total of 23 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, he just kept coming off the bench with like 2 minutes left.
Mm. Oh, goodness.
Yeah, so it's not exactly. I mean, that smacks to me of like a cheap loan option. I mean, Kinnear, who's supposed to be in charge of signings, which in itself is ridiculous, as we've touched on. He's not signed any permanent players in his time there.
No. 2 loan signings.
But even the loan signings were players Newcastle have been linked with before and tried to sign before. Yeah. So he's just picking up someone else's work.
The amount of players that went elsewhere that frustrated me. Players like bloody Holtby. He can't be on like a kick. He'll be on a lot of money, but manageable for me, especially when you've got your highest earner just going out the door. You know, Ince, I mean, all these players that have got their future in front of them, as Kinnear was very, he basically said we wanted the players with the future in front of them rather than behind them, which didn't make any sense.
Maybe again, it's Ashley sort of putting a cap on the wages a bit more, trying to save a bit more money, and you're not attracting those players.
But one of the reasons why certain players go to where they go, Zaha to Cardiff, for example, is because they know the man in charge. They trust him.
Mm. And also,
and would you want to send your footballer up to Newcastle?
Zaha to Cardiff is just pleasing to say as well.
Zaha to Cardiff.
Which would have been.
But then you'd look at someone like Johan Cabaye, who's kind of played his way into, to be a major player in France. It's probably quite a decent place to play a trade to a certain extent. It gets you noticed.
I take Marcus's point, but I think really that the overarching thing is that they just want to play. They want the clubs want them to play, and the players want to play. So as long as they're playing, I don't really think Newcastle play terrible football.
No.
It's not.
Well, no,
he's going to be looked after.
No,
Newcastle's a big club.
I didn't mean that, but they're just. I don't know, some of the stuff that goes on.
I know what you mean. There's obviously a reason that Zaha's gone to Cardiff rather than Solskjaer. Of course, I understand the point.
Yeah.
I think Pete's right. I just think it's incompetence on Newcastle's part, really.
Anyway, we've finished with the North East.
Just one more thing.
If
Newcastle do need any shoring up at the back, both Titus Bramble and Jean-Alain Boumsong
are available.
Both available on a free.
Oh, yeah, that's worth it.
Roll back the years.
Fair, that
there
worth
you go.
But anyway, back to West Ham. It was a good win. And Andy Carroll got sent off as well as getting 2 assists. Was it a sending off?
I think it was a sending off. Am I alone in this?
I think you're one of the few, Pete, but I can understand if he'd have caught him in the face, he would have. He lashed out.
I don't see any equivocation here.
Chico Flores held his face, and that was all nonsense. We know that.
Him and Sam Allardyce, big pals.
Oh, yeah.
They go way back.
I did enjoy that.
Yeah, Sam seems to find him quite funny.
Of course, Chico Flores wasn't hurt by that. Absolutely.
Chico Flores!
But the fact, it did look as though Carroll swung his arm round.
Yeah. They were having a lovely old merry dance, but...
I sort of think he knew what he was doing.
Do you think it was
he knew Flores was there? It's one of those funny ones, isn't it? I mean, his arm sort of moved around quite quickly, so you could argue it was like excessive force. It looked initially like he was just trying to balance himself. I sort of think he knew he was there. Flores didn't share himself in glory, of course, but you can understand why it was upheld. I think very difficult one, open to interpretation, really, I think.
I think in midweek, Loic Remy getting sent off, if that one had been rescinded and Loic Remy's being upheld, I think Newcastle would have had a real problem with that.
They don't tend to rescind them because they want to be seen to be supporting the referees. I mean, the Danny Rose one was rescinded, and rightly so, because that was a fair tackle and that was just a blatant mistake.
Mm.
And if it's mistaken identity and that sort of stuff, obviously they'll be rescinded. But those sorts of ones that are borderline, they don't tend to rescind them because they want to be seen to be supporting the referees, which you can understand.
But a good win for West Ham nonetheless.
Yes.
And a vital one too. Swansea have been dragged into
it. They're in real trouble, Swansea, aren't they?
But in the biggest trouble of them all is Fulham. They were hammered by Southampton 3-0 at home on the weekend. I mean, Fulham, you look at some of the signs they've got Kvist, Holtby was a decent sign, Heitinger, Mitroglou, even Dempsey.
Really surprised at Mitroglou going there.
Yeah, well, Berbatov, Terat, Senderson and Ruiz have gone. But it looks at Fulham, you know, they've changed the manager. They've brought in Ray Wilkins and Kerbishley's in the backroom staff as well, isn't he? And
Kinnear's available now. I'm sure we'll see him pop up.
Stella.
In the dream
Well,
thing.
The transfer window's gone, so there's no point. Yeah. But you've got all these signings. It's like they're just trying to throw as much as they can at the wall and just shake it up in the hope that results come. And they do not look, and haven't looked this season, really, putting a run together or anything like that.
There's no cohesion.
Really is worrying times down.
There's no cohesion at any level of the club, be it from the management or the people appointing the management staff to the players. It's
but they need
chaos.
They need what Pulis has done.
I don't know.
Palace.
Also, I don't really know. You're right. And to add to that, I don't really know what a Mühlenstein team does or looks like or what his identity is. And
does he?
Maybe not. I think one of the things about Mitroglou is it's a bit. Well, it's two things. One, it's a little bit depressing, given that he was about to play in the Champions League knockout stages against Manchester United. Secondly, it's a massive testament to the marketing ability of the Premier League. Obviously, there's money involved and stuff like that. But he'll
see it as a stepping stone, won't he? Just the Premier League being a shop window for a bigger club in the Premier League.
The Greek club being offered $11.5 million, was it something?
Of course, I understand that. But think about the player. If he's not careful, I mean, of course, it's easy to say you can use it as a stepping stone. But what happens if that doesn't work out? No one comes in for him. He'll be playing for Championship football next year.
No, of course. But I would imagine his wages would probably increase. The club gets a lot of money.
And I'm sure the agent's got some kind of clause in his contract. That's right. If you go down, I'm out of here, losers.
But I mean, no disrespect to the Championship, because I like it. I think it's a really entertaining league and stuff. But I mean, it's not what he's got in mind, is it? It's not what Mitroglou thinks of himself step in his career.
But he'll be billed as one of the guys who's going to come in and save the day.
Also, he's not got any great pedigree, Mitroglou. I mean, he's been great recently, but I mean, he's not someone who's banged in goals season after season after season.
But this is what I was saying earlier, that Fulham are just in desperation.
Well, you have probably the last thing, and it sounds like an obvious thing to say, but the last thing you need if you're a newly promoted club to the Premier League or a struggling club in the Premier League is a lack of goals, because not only is it obvious you won't win many games, but because it's very difficult to attract strikers. And you either have to take a gamble on a Championship player or a lower league player, as we've seen in the past, or you have to take an untested player from a slightly unfashionable league and hope they click. And a lot of the time, it doesn't work.
Unusual decision to loan Berbatov to Monaco as well.
He wanted to go.
I don't think it's to be honest with you.
I'm sure he wanted to go, but surely they can
put
their feet
down. Did you see what he was wearing when he turned up?
No, I think Berbatov.
Oh, la la.
Berbatov wasn't that. I think his time at Fulham's done. He gets in the way at times of their play, which I was saying the other week. Sometimes they try and get the ball forward quickly, and Berbatov.
He turned up at Monaco in a beautifully tailored suit and shirt with a cape on.
Yeah. He looked fabulous.
He looked like a Bond villain.
I mean, look, Berbatov's a great player, he wasn't fitting into what Fulham, whatever they're trying to do.
Did you see Trapp finally got his big move? Hey!
Terat at Milan. Yeah.
Incredible. It's really annoying, that, isn't it? It's someone who doesn't like deserve that kind of level of... that level of club, really. Because he just doesn't try if he doesn't rate the club. And how has he still been rewarded for that?
I think a couple of years ago he said, I would be interested in going to Milan because I would see that as a stepping stone to Real Madrid or Barcelona.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
He's still only 24, isn't he?
I'm going to make a prediction. Well, pro the next season.
But you say he's got so much talent, Marcus. But
he does.
Do we see it often enough, like to actually say that it's constantly there? Has he just got flashes of it?
No, it is there. He just can't be bothered.
Jim, I think coaches and managers see... They'll be used to seeing players every day. They'll see Terat, and they'll not only think what a talent, they'll go, I can get the best out of him.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll back themselves because they're essentially their very essence like egotistical people. So they'll think, if anyone get the best out of him, I will. That's how players who are continually a problem to other managers still get signed all the time.
Yeah,
because they back themselves.
Even Redknapp doesn't want him back. And Milan have come in for him. What universe are we living in?
Yeah, I know.
Has there been some rip in the space-time continuum over the transfer window?
But what a manager he can go to work under, like Seydorf. I mean, Seydorf will get... If Seydorf can't get his respect, then he might just quit.
If you can't play for Seydorf, you should be doing something else.
Yeah, exactly.
Seydorf could kick the crap out of that guy.
But we haven't talked about...
that should be the motivation.
I shouldn't really be saying this as the Pompey fan here.
Well, I was about
to
say...
we haven't talked about how good Southampton were in their goals.
Absolutely. Three Englishmen get the goals. Lallana surely got to get on the plane, hasn't he?
Seems that way.
Get him on the plane now. Rodriguez scored a delightful one. I think he'll be an unlucky man to miss out in the World Cup.
That ball from Lambert. I mean, you think of Lambert as being this number nine, big and strong, and I know he's got more to his game than that, of course he has, but that pass was absolutely
superb. Well, I tell you what, Lambert needs to put in a real shift, because it's between him and Carroll for that last striker.
I'd take Lambert every day.
Yeah, would you?
He's played much more football.
At the moment, yeah.
I don't know.
Unless Carroll has a storming end to the season.
For some weird reason, I was watching a bit of the Super Bowl the other night, and I thought, oh, Carroll.
getting up there.
Oh, Carroll Tanner.
On the long passes from the old quarterback, nod it down to the wide receiver.
So you want him on the Super Bowl plane for next
year? I get him on all of the planes. Yeah. All of the planes, all of the time.
You've gotten confused.
I think it would be very harsh to leave Lambert out for Carroll, given that Lambert's played his way in, he's an honest pro, he's taken a chance at international level when he's given it.
You remember Kiev?
Yeah, of course I do.
Well then.
But that was 2 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't. It was 18 months ago.
Well, by the time it comes around...
He's been injured.
Yeah. But anyway, Southampton, why are we talking about Andy Carroll? I apologise. Forgive me.
Talk about Osvaldo.
Okay. He's gone to Juventus. He kicked off in training. Hardly surprising. enough said.
But that's a really interesting situation for me, because I think a lot of Southampton players have piped up over the past season saying... Part of the great reason that we're... Look at the Luke Shaw thing. So Luke Shaw said, look, I love playing here.
Yeah.
I only will go if it's to Chelsea, because it's a team he supports, or at a push or another Champions League club.
Yes.
Now, part of the reason for that, and we've seen other players say this, like Rodriguez and Lallana and stuff, they love playing at Southampton. The environment that's been fostered by Pochettino is so enjoyable. Mm. They love playing under it. And you can see that in their play.
And
they
now
really
you
buy
can
into
see
it.
Why Adkins went and Pochettino. Because you have those players and you needed someone who could manage them.
But moving on to Osvaldo, now that's why it was such a strange signing. Because about Osvaldo, who I quite like as a player, I think he's really talented and obviously very good.
But he's disruptive.
Absolutely. Mm.
Conte loves a mad Argentinian.
There you go.
Yeah, that's very true. Maybe the England team will be made up of Southampton players in the future. We certainly think so, Luke, don't we?
We do indeed, yeah.
I mean, there could be a hell of a lot of Southampton and ex-Southampton there.
Yeah, it could be.
When everyone's
it could be
fit.
Like when West Ham won the World Cup, we're going to be like, Southampton won the World Cup. I can tell that, Luke.
When Arsenal won it in 98, Adrian. I'm not even acknowledging that with a response.
Hey.
Put it this way now, right? If someone said to me, you could have all three of them go to the World Cup and England win it.
Shut up.
Or
you'd say no.
We'd get to the final and they stay at home. I'll take the final.
Naughty.
I am nothing if not a petty man.
£1,000 fine and live in the sea.
Yeah.
But just a little glimmer of hope for Fulham fans. Obviously, it's all doom and gloom. A way to Manchester United next week. So never know. There's a chance to rectify things there. Manchester United did lose to Stoke City 2-1. Charlie Adam with a differing double. The first was a heavy deflection, but the second was a wonderful effort.
Van Persie's goal was very good as well.
One matter with another assist. But worrying signs for the champions. They're points off fourth.
I thought it was a strange... I mean, first of all, we've said this 100 times this season, but a lot of the players don't seem good enough. But I thought it was really strange the way he picked Young and didn't pick Januzaj. And I know we've said they rely on Januzaj too much, but I mean, he's got an opportunity there to play with that front four for the first time.
Yeah.
And he didn't take it, played Young. Young is unquestionably a weak link in that forward four.
Mm. He did score a lovely goal the other week, then. Yeah.
He's not exactly someone who's going to do his defensive duties up front either, is he, in a game like that when you're going to need it.
For so many weeks, Januzaj's been kind of like almost talisman for that the front half of that team. And now they've got an opportunity to, you know, have RVP back and you know, bigger players be around him, they sort of think, well, chuck him in, and then he's not the biggest deal on the pitch, basically.
Yeah, that is true.
At his young age.
And also down the... that wasn't down the bottom, sorry. Well, Stoke are fairly... Yeah, and maybe United. But Cardiff beat Norwich 2-1, which was a great win for Cardiff, and Solskjaer's first win. Snodgrass put Norwich 1 up, but Zaha on his debut, lovely little through ball to Bellamy, who brushed it home for his first Premier League goal for Cardiff.
Yeah,
it was a funny celebration, though. He was saying after the game that the Cardiff fans were getting on their own players' backs, and he sort of shushed them, didn't he?
I like what he said after the game, and I think he was well within his rights to say it, chiefly because he watched Cardiff as a boy and he's from there, and he can say, look, and he actually said, when I was younger, this didn't used to happen. There's no way we should.
He said, that's not us.
We're in the Premier League for the first time and all this other stuff. You know, I think he's absolutely right.
Yeah.
It's not as though those players, for me anyway, like, look, they've got a new manager. You know, fair enough, have a pop at the chairman and all that sort of stuff if you want to. But those players didn't seem to me like they weren't trying. Mm. They looked like they were trying.
They won the game.
Yeah, they won the game. Exactly.
And Kevin Jones got... Yeah,
I mean, you are having your rights to boo and stuff, but don't expect it to help the players.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, there's got to be some sort of reflection on where they are. As you say, they are in the Premier League. They're not doing terribly, are they? They've got a fighting chance of staying up.
They do.
They could easily...
They're 2 points from safety, but Norwich have been... dragged in again, 2 points above the drop zone. They've signed Joseph Yobo on loan to help them out with that.
They also play Manchester City at home next weekend.
Good luck. Good
Seems
luck.
Seems like everyone's got Man City at home coming up.
Yeah. Apart from Manchester United.
It's a virtual no-pointer.
But that's the Premier League done and dusted with. So there you go. The Championship. Oh, lots of things happening in the Championship on the weekend as well. A couple of 3-3s. QPR and Burnley. Good result for Leicester, that was. Because they beat Bournemouth 1-0 away. They're 10 points above second place
QPR. I thought
QPR.
They might lose that. Bournemouth are very strong at home. I like Bournemouth at home.
The man who turns 41 this year, Kevin Phillips, with the goal.
Evergreen.
And a nice little sort of Zimmer frame celebration.
Did you see in the QPR game, Ings rinsing Asu Okotu?
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
Ings and Vokes up
a lot of Spurs. A lot of Spurs fans are calling for Asu Okotu to get back to Spurs and play left back.
Oh, yeah.
Because of Danny Rose not being that great.
Not on that performance.
absolutely right. But Danny Ings is a good player, of course.
Yeah, debut goals for Doyle and Maiga.
Who scored the winner for Leicester, did you say?
Ken Phillips.
Yeah, is he older than Eddie Howe?
Yeah, of course
he is.
He
might be.
Yeah, Eddie Howe's still in his 30s.
Yeah, brilliant.
And Howe.
Yeah.
And Birmingham Derby drew 3-3 as well. Derby couldn't capitalise on QPR and Burnley drawing after drawing themselves 3-3. They were 3-1 up as well. They're 4 points off QPR. But Federico Maceda, on loan from Manchester United, got an injury time equaliser. He's only 22.
It's strange how retro he seems.
Yeah.
He needs to take the hit and go.
This is his sixth loan move.
He's not going to get that team, is he?
Of course he's not.
He's not going to get in that team. And perhaps, not perhaps, definitely, the biggest story coming from the Championship that week was Leeds United 5, Huddersfield 1. Oh, Brian McDermott.
He doesn't know what is the worst day of his life.
It's time
anymore,
for the section we're going to call the worst day of Brian McDermott's life.
He's been messed around, hasn't he?
Oh, he's awful.
So it's out of 24.
He's like the new Keegan. He is perhaps as unlucky as Big Kev.
Because McDermott is quite a dignified, really nice man. Yeah. He's been treated appallingly.
Ridiculous. I just feel so sorry for him. He got illegally sacked. That's how unlucky he is.
Yeah.
Illegally sacked by Massimo Cellino.
Yeah, but then the embarrassment of having to turn up on a Monday as well.
Well, Cellino's the Italian businessman who owns Cagliari and was planning on taking over Leeds. I don't know whether that's going to happen or whatever. And this is the man who, just over a year ago, an Italian arrest warrant called a man of marked criminal tendencies, capable of using every kind of deception to achieve his ends. And he's been convicted of fraud twice.
Indeed. He still passed the test. It's ridiculous.
Has he passed it?
I bet he will.
Allowed to do that? If I were to leave the studio and walk into PC World, I couldn't just go and sack the manager. why has he been allowed to do that?
The worst thing about all this that sums up Brian McDermott's situation is Leeds on a really terrible run. Haven't won in seven games. Sack their manager for the weekend, win 5-1, get him back again. Yeah. If they lose again this weekend, it's going to be like, what is happening?
Yeah. Well,
to be fair to Cellino, like, he was the only one who had the money to actually take over Leeds United. And I read that the local press did receive a letter from the club announcing McDermott's sacking on headed Norpip from Leeds United.
Oh, right.
It's weird, isn't it? Yeah.
It is weird.
Yeah, that's a bit strange, to say the least. He was told on the Friday he was sacked, then he didn't manage the team, as Luke said, and then he's back in training on Monday. The fans sang his name throughout the match against Huddersfield, which was nice to see. And he's been really well back.
It's really classy of them, because they've been on a bad run, and it's good to see them support him still.
He turned up on training on Monday with all the players, and he was like, there's some Italian player there, I don't know who he is. I presume we've signed him, so...
I also read...
It's Gianluca Festa, oh God.
Modern football, which is absolutely outrageous.
Well, Festa was... he's the guy who Cellino pretty much...
Yeah.
That's what I was about to say,
he tried to get him on the actual... Was
he not sitting in the dugout the other week? What's he doing? He loves the club. He wants to see the game at eye level.
What I like about that fella is he's scared of the number 17, isn't he? And I looked on Leeds United's team sheet. And
Cellino's scared of the number 17 because he's unlucky in Italy.
Number 17 for Leeds United, Michael Brown, Hartlepool's favourite son.
Ex-Pompey as well.
Get out of it. Ex-everyone.
So, yes, Brian McDermott, we are with you. We're behind you. Mm.
Gianluca Festa, Pompey Hall of Fame.
We wish you luck. Now it's time to go to the league, or as the Spanish call it, La Liga. Atletico Madrid are top of the league for the first time since 1996.
That's brilliant.
Wonderful. They've done it. I thought they were going to choke after Barcelona lost.
They won in some style.
But they're not just top of the league, they're 3 points clear of Barcelona and Madrid.
Romping it.
I think it's the first time in 59 weeks, Sidlow was saying, that Barcelona haven't been top.
That's incredible.
And who do Atletico Madrid play on the last day of the season, Mark?
Barcelona away.
Correct.
They host Madrid at the start of next month in the league. But what a win it was. And fantastic to see. And that's why a number of weeks ago, when Diego Simeone was shouting one more to get them to go top of the league on goal difference, it was a psychological barrier to get through.
Do they not do head-to-head in that league, though?
No, I'm just saying, for now, we spoke a few weeks ago, didn't we, when they wanted to score one more so they would go top of the league on goal difference.
Lovely dink from Costa.
And people are talking a lot about Costa, obviously, and how brilliant he's been, but Villa as well. How brilliant would it be for David Villa to win the league at Atletico? I mean, he went off injured, I don't know how
he left Barcelona to go to Atletico Madrid.
Also, it's a pretty emotional week for Atletico Madrid because Luis Aragonés died.
That's true.
Who's, I think, is their all-time top scorer and a really big figure.
In the red and white half of Madrid, a big advocate of tiki-taka and very important in the recent development of the national side.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he was the one who really sort of moved out Raul and moved him on to the new generation, wasn't he? And I think it was really interesting to see how... I think it was Xavi or Iniesta, one of the two, said that Aragonés was the best coach they play under, which is really big.
That's huge.
Really big praise.
Because I'm a white man.
Oh, easy.
What?
Yeah, well, it's true.
Well, sure, he said it, yeah.
He said a lot of funny things, but...
funny things, racist things, Marcus.
No, as well as awful things.
Yes.
But talking about the football side of things, it was a sad day in Spain.
It is all serious. In all seriousness.
I'm not having it, Marcus. I'm not letting you get away with it. Talking about the football side of things.
It does show you how serious it is when a 75-year-old man can have his life completely, opinion of him completely changed 1 minute.
Mm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well,
yeah.
Don't be racist.
Yeah.
That's the takings from this. Don't be racist. Yeah. I think it's like we can all get behind.
Yeah, you hear me, kids?
Yeah.
Damn right, Petey. Damn right they do. Also, Brazilian Diego's joined Atleti from Wolfsburg. He got the fourth goal.
That's going to derail it.
Yeah.
That could derail it. I could see him missing a penalty on purpose to win the league.
Oh, dear.
But mind you, Simeone wouldn't take any nonsense.
Barcelona 2, Valencia 3. An unbelievable win for Valencia, Jim. Don't you dare talk over me. Jordi Alba was sent off. I did find it quite funny. In Valencia, they tweeted some photos of their January signings. They've signed Philippe Senderov, very oddly enough.
Yeah, they've let Adil Rami go as well.
But they tweeted a picture of Breda Hangeland.
This is what we wanted.
Is Joe Kinnear moonlighting?
I think Adil Rami's only gone on loan, doesn't he, to me now?
He has, yeah. But it's a strange
even
one.
So, yeah.
Mm. But a great win for Valencia at the Camp Nou, or the new camp, depending on which way you want to put those words. Athletic Bilbao drew 1-1 with Real Madrid. Ronaldo controversially sent off.
Was it controversial?
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, it was one of those...
They were controversial because of Ronaldo.
it was very silly, wasn't it? He knows the rules.
It was such a Ronaldo thing to do.
It was a sending off by the massively over-the-top rules.
What rules, though? That you can't put your forehead?
Yeah, you can't strike someone in the face, can you? You can't touch another person's face, pretty much.
There's nothing in the laws to say that. The laws say that it's excessive force or brutality.
Right.
But there's no need for him
to get
involved.
We've seen it happen so many times.
He scratched the guy on the face. He said it was a really cowardly thing to do, I thought. It was such a Ronaldo thing to do, because if you had any respect for the guy, you'd have chinned him or something.
I did admire
what... He put his hands up.
And that is a sign of respect, ladies and
gentlemen. It's true, though. It's true, Mark.
I know what you mean.
You stand up to someone, and you're annoyed with them, and he clearly lost his temper, right? And what I mean by this is, he wanted to do something to hurt the guy, but he wanted to get away with it.
He went for an emotional hurt.
So it's the same way when Mourinho nipped behind Villanova and poked him in the eye. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
He thought, well, I'll probably get away with that. Ronaldo got the guy, grabbed his face, just scratched down his face.
Yeah.
It was a cowardly thing to do, and he should have been sent off.
I found it quite funny what Roy Keane said when he got sent off for Manchester United away at Newcastle United. Mm. When
Somebody swung for Shearer.
Yeah, but he just flicked him around the head. And he said afterwards, he said, such a waste of a sending off. You know, at least if I'm going to send off, I could have smacked him in the face or something.
Yeah. He also said, I never go out to hurt a player. No, I always go out to hurt a player, but I'd never go out to injure a player. Fine line.
Yeah.
Very fine line.
Again, not true.
when does hurt become injury?
What was his name?
Haaland, sorry.
Yeah. Not Hangland.
So basically what we've learned here is don't be racist, and if you respect someone, chin them.
Yeah.
I just think there's something a lot more honest about doing that than trying to scratch them so you get away with it and it hurts, but it's not really the same. Just if you lose your temper and you're going to do something to someone like that, do something.
Dopey move from Ronaldo.
Really
out of character for how he's been in recent seasons.
Yeah, lessons in life with the football ramble there, in case you've never listened to
we don't upkeep ourselves. Yeah.
you can be a hypocrite and still be right.
To be fair, I've never hit Luke, which tells you what I think of him.
True, yeah.
Right, we leave...
Man with catastrophic reserve.
We leave La Liga. Very briefly to Italy, the derby of Italy, we've got to give it a mention. Juventus 3 into 1. Juve power on. Easy peasy. Lemon squeezy. I saw on... So I listened to James Horncastle on the Football Weekly saying that Lazio fans marched against the selling of Hernandez.
Yes.
Managed to get hold
he
of
cried,
his...
He cried, didn't he,
Hernandez? He did cry, yeah. He was very upset. He clearly didn't want to go, but I think it was in the club's best
No, Hernandez has actually come out and said he did want to go.
Oh, did he?
But he's... I think he was just very emotional about the whole situation.
Which is fair enough. I mean, yeah. Mourinho, when he left Inter, of course, he cried as well.
I, for one, am very surprised that Hernandez is 28.
Mm.
I just thought he was a real prospect. I thought he was really young.
But he left Brazil when he was, what, 24, 25?
Yeah, I thought he was a lot younger than that.
But he delayed the move, which you could say paid off because he's certainly playing very good football and he's got a big move there. But the fans managed to get hold of his mobile phone number and sent him messages.
Word.
Sent him messages, no, asking him to stay.
Oh.
And bearing in mind these are Lazio fans, so you do fear the worst. But when the deal was done, he got sent loads and loads of messages, over 10,000, apparently, of saying good luck and thanks for your time at the club.
That's a battery killer.
It's amazing.
Yeah, get nothing done, would you? Update all the time.
How do you find messages from your mum and stuff in between that?
Yeah. Give her a different number, I suppose. let's go to Hernandez's homeland of Brazil. Some good and bad things happening in Brazil, as always.
It's a big place.
We'll start with the bad. 100 supporters of Corinthians broke into a World Cup training centre to assault Corinthian players and staff.
Yeah, that is awful.
However,
we have just spent the last 5 minutes saying chinning is good, though, to be fair, Jim.
I really respect those players.
I was trying to make a different point.
You know what it's like on this pod, Luke. You've got to be careful. I've certainly learned that.
Yeah.
And I'm still learning it, you could argue. But this is more for the quote the club president came out with. Now, OK, he's not the manager, but we spoke last week of the Oxford United or Oxford City player falling out a tree to rescue a cat and just very, very football-y type quotes. And cliche. Now, bear in mind, these are supporters breaking in and assaulting players. It's disgraceful. It's terrible. And it's worrying and all those sorts of things.
It's live.
Club president Mario Gobbi, aptly named, said, they tried to strangle the player who scored the most important goal in our club's history. That's just not on.
if you restrict the flow of oxygen to the brain, he won't be doing it again.
I love that. Like they you just can't.
It makes
sense.
If he wasn't that good, it would be fine.
It's like
I respect this man. And they've chinned him. Mixed messages today.
Oh dear. But yeah, so it was a worrying signs before the World Cup.
Do you know who they meant when they said the most important player?
I'm not quite sure.
It was Guerrero who scored the winning goal in I think the World Club Cup.
Right. Okay.
Which is obviously a big deal.
Fair enough. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you said booing doesn't help.
No.
Punching certainly doesn't.
Assaulting and strangling is not...
No, it's not motivational. Yeah. I suppose it depends on the sort of person you are, I suppose. But it depends if you're a carrot or a stick person.
Since they hit me, I know they love me. Yeah. I'm going to get out there. Strange one. Very strange. Let's go to something that's sad but marvellous as well. It's Juninho Pernambucano. He's retired from the beautiful game. It's obviously sad, but we remember his great career. Mm. He scored more than 200 goals in his career as a midfield player.
All free kicks.
Every single one. One every time.
There's
that
a video...
unstoppable
knuckleball.
In the Matrix.
There's a video on YouTube showing 75 of his free kicks. I'm not sure that's all his free kicks.
No, it probably isn't.
So get on that. But Vasco president Roberto Dinamice said a nice thing. He said, I just have to thank this great human being. Vasco, thank him for everything.
Ooh. I'd like to say that he is the best free kick taker of all time.
Yeah. I think that's fair enough.
You'd have to say that, wouldn't you?
And a great player as well. He wasn't just a great dead ball specialist. He was an excellent footballer.
Mm. Oh, of course, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Remember
him at Lyon well.
Yes, a wonderful career.
In their dominant phase.
Someone who's hopefully on the ascent in his career is Rivaldo Jr., who's playing for Mogi Mirim. His father, Rivaldo, of course, owns the club. He scored on the weekend.
Didn't his dad keep him out of the team the week before?
Well, he played, yeah. The young lad plays in a forward position, so hopefully we'll see father assist son soon enough.
That'd be brilliant.
That'd be great.
I thought he was called Rivaldinho, but the commentator, I'm pretty sure, was saying Rivaldo Jr.
Right, OK.
But either or.
Well, as we know, Rivaldo has and always had a really sort of voracious appetite for just playing football, didn't he? Yeah. Football so much.
He's still playing it.
Yeah, exactly. So if his son's got that attitude as well, then he could be some player, you know.
Yeah, damn right.
Looking at Kevin Phillips' celebration, I think Rivaldo would probably need Zimmer forever. rather than later.
And then to finish the main part of the show, Big Sepp Blatter. He commented on the Brazilian public's anti-FIFA protest. That's been going on for a long time, and it's very clear what they want and why they're doing it. I think their protests have actually been quite admirable in places. Well, not the violent ones, of course. But Big Sepp says it's a spontaneous movement with no purpose or reason. People just want to see use the World Cup to be heard. Football is like potatoes. It goes with everything.
Amazing.
Confusing.
Man with too many carbs really on his plate.
Potatoes don't go with orange juice.
Yeah.
I don't think
for example.
I love how he's just...
Well, do the Brazilians eat a lot of potatoes?
Maybe.
Seth does.
Yeah, I think I like how he said
that's what we've learned.
It's a spontaneous movement without purpose or reason. No, it's not spontaneous, and it has a lot of purpose and a lot of reason.
Somebody can't read Portuguese placards.
Oh, dear, but it goes with
and
everything.
And isn't willing to try.
And now it's time for Pete's game.
It is. Thank you very much to James Elise for this particular nomination and indeed clue set. This game is known as Dexter Blackstock Busters. Good. Yeah, good. I am the only footballer to appear on a stamp while still playing professionally.
Stop. Sir Stanley Matthews.
No.
Stop. Is it Eusebio?
No. I first arrived in England in 1998.
Eusebio?
Playing 23 games for Crystal Palace.
Stop.
Attilio Lombardo.
No. Stop.
Thomas Brolin.
No.
Stop. Spironi.
No.
I don't know what I was doing there.
I'm already got a stamp.
I know.
I just wanted to guess.
Hi, everyone. Just get together for our new commemorative stamp collection. We've got quite a special player for this particular issue.
We've got a Vita.
Please, wind back a little curtain. Sorry, who is that? Obviously, Julian Speroni. Yeah. Obviously.
It's John Walk. Yeah. I've made 78 appearances for my country and I have scored one goal. That's one goal. In 2008, I made my debut for Sheffield United and got sent off after 19 minutes. In a qualifying match for the 2010 World Cup against Qatar, I was shown a straight red card while warming up as a sub.
Oh, I've got nothing.
God, this is difficult. Mm.
Let's go, so it's an Asian player.
Mm. My current club is Guizhou Rennes, I think. That's how you pronounce
it. No, it doesn't. You've got it spot on.
That was just, annoying.
Right. In 2002... I became the first Chinese footballer to score in the Premier League.
Oh, I can't remember his name. Oh, dear.
Oh, I made 130 appearances for Man City between 2002 and 2008.
Stop. It's not Sun Ji-hai?
Sun Ji-hai.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I mean,
done,
come
Jim.
On.
Two on the bounce.
Well done.
That was not even on the bounce, was it? That was, you know, six-yard box tapping.
Yeah, and what I mean is I got it last week as well.
Yeah.
And they were scrappy goals, but I'm taking them.
Two on the flop.
Two on the scuff. On the river.
Two on the spin.
On the river.
And now it's time for correspondence.
It is time for correspondence, you guys.
Oh, yeah.
How's it going over there?
It is going well.
I'm just over here in the correspondence area.
Corner.
Question of the week this week, you guys, and you can get involved as well.
Yeah.
Okay. What was your highlight of transfer deadline day? Everyone's thinking, why haven't they talked about transfer deadline day yet? Because we'll talk about it now.
Mm.
All right. Mm. So patience is a virtue.
Get on with it.
Richard Moran comes in straight away. I like this, saying Dimitar Berbatov, having done nothing of note this season, getting the transfer we all wanted. Berb and Riviera equals magic. I agree. We talked about
absolutely.
The cape. Absolutely legend. Matthew Innes says the Juan Mata helicopter. #Hashtag Kevin Keegan in reverse.
Ooh,
I like that. Mata on it wasn't really deadline day, but we'll give you that anyway. Gerard Thompson said I enjoyed Danny Murphy trying to put the head of BBC Sport on Five Live out of a job. With his exclusives. Apparently he kept nipping in.
Yeah, they kept going, have you got anything else? He's gone, no, I'll try my best. And then somebody got a curry, and everyone said, do you want to leave the studio while you eat a curry? And he goes, no, I'll just stay here. And then every person who came in the studio after that was going, that curry smells nice. And they were just talking about curry.
If someone pulled out a curry in the middle of Jim White's live stream, he'd have kicked their heart out. Yeah. He'd have been so angry, wouldn't he? Amazing. Even the very thought of getting curry on that crisp yellow tie just didn't happen.
Well, it is a transfer of sorts, from plate to mouth.
Sky Sports News actually showed Jim White putting his tie on behind the scenes. It's like the whole thing's
becoming
eating itself.
So ridiculous.
It's eating itself.
If you didn't see that live, where can you see it now?
What?
The video of Jim White putting his tie. I didn't see it, that's all.
Oh, footballramble.com?
Okay, yeah, why not? I'll put it up there.
Yeah. Well, Charlie Tim says, Newcastle's excellent new signings thanks to the marvellous work by the indispensable Joe Kinnear. #Hashtag that's a dig at Pete.
Oh, you, why is it a dig at me?
You're happy, yeah, exactly.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. Andy Harrow
is
says,
that trending?
Send Ross to Valencia. #Hashtag heads gone.
Yeah.
What else have we got here? Sebastian O'Driscoll says, I bought a Magnum Classic, gave the lady a £5 note, got £8.21 change.
Nice.
Does that mean
what a tasty Magnum,
Magnum
that must
Classic
have been.
Is £1.79? Because presumably she thought it was a tenner.
Clip around the corner was £1.80.
Sounds like a sex move. Andy McKenney on the Facebook says, Wenger trying to improve the spine of his team, only to get some bad news.
Excellent. Yeah.
What else have we got here? David Doughty, Osvaldo's bowler hat, very enjoyable.
David Doughty?
Yeah, on Twitter. Do you know him?
No.
No, okay. Cheers for that.
I just thought, you know.
Yeah, worrying about people's names. Is that a name?
Well, worrying about Doughty.
Doubting Doughty.
Yeah.
Right. Penultimate entry from Andy Negus on the Facebook. The nostalgic sounds of Barry Davis's voice on Channel 4's The Jump.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah. I heard that.
A combination of Barry Davis and Eddie the Eagle Edwards doing commentary.
Shiver me, timbers.
Yeah. You never thought you'd see the day. We'll finish off with Joe Doe on Twitter, who says, I watched Hellboy with a nice cheese board. Impeccable.
I thought you'd say impeccum.
Almost.
Wonderful.
There we go.
Anyone else with any? Week. I quite liked Owen Coyle. Being on the telly, very likeable fella. He also pronounced Yanazai's Janajaj.
Not even try. He's heard it. He's heard it on more than one occasion.
What I don't get is some of the pundits, especially like Carragher and Neville, they'll be like, well, Janazai and blah, blah, blah. And you think, okay, it's not a terrible thing to say, but you know it's Yanazai. Everybody says that, or certain other
names. I remember Mick McCarthy once doing commentary on an England-Ukraine game, I think, maybe, a while ago. And he at the start of the game, it was like 1 minute in, he went, and the ball went to the Ukrainian left-back, I forget who it was, and he went, oh, well, I'm not going to try and pronounce the name, I'll just call him left-back.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Like, mate, that speaking is literally all you've got to do.
I remember being really irritated by some commentator years ago when Alan Boksic was playing for Juventus, and it's Boksic. In English, it's spelled Boksic, of course. He pronounced it Boksic.
Who was that?
I can't remember which channel and all that sort of
stuff. Boksic, not clever.
It's not a difficult word, is it?
Boxing clever.
But no, yeah, transfer their line was... I mean, all their colour-coordinated yellow and stuff. It's very strange. Like, they all had... The girls had yellow dresses on. It was almost like, at one point, you expect... The way they were dressed and the way it was all glamour.
Oh, they've always dressed the... horse in yellow, haven't they? Why have they done that?
Maybe I didn't notice it before. So, but it's to go with the yellow ticker along the bottom, basically.
Right.
Is that right?
But it got to the point where it was so well made. Like, Jim White had so much makeup on and was wearing this suit, and like, it was almost like they were going to break into like a version of New York, New York or something. At the end, like, I'd start taking bows. It was very strange.
There's an episode of 30 Rock where Liz Lemon comes in on the leap day to discover there's this national holiday that happens on the leap day that she's just missed every year and hasn't been aware of, but they've clearly, like, you know, they've just made it up for the show, obviously. And it looks like Sky Sports are trying to do the same thing, just to make transfer deadline day into this
and make it
this
thing,
like holiday with its own traditions and colours, and Jim White as Santa Claus. It's just bizarre.
I genuinely think, I mean, this would never happen, but I genuinely think if transfer deadline day ever fell on like a match day, they would take transfer deadline day over the football. they would just go, oh yeah, press the red button for the football, we're doing deadline day.
Even if they had the rights for like Man City, Man United or something.
All they care about is transfer deadline day.
Second fiddle. That's the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for giving us your ears for such amount of time. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com, the Twitter is @footballramble, and the website is thefootballramble.com. Get over there.
Yeah, don't forget betfair.com/footballramble. Have a bet on this week. Why don't you have a bet on Liverpool to beat Arsenal this week?
Go to the Nuge.
Oh, the Nuge. You can have a bet on Nuge to score. Last time I said that, he missed a penalty, so he probably won't do that again. But yeah, betfair.com/footballramble. Open an account and you get up to £50 as a matched bet. It's a good deal.
Yeah, Kelly's been brilliant on the website this week. She put up a great video of Annie St. Vincent
doing
a rainbow flick.
That was really entertaining.
In like crazy pointy shoes.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
And there's been some other videos as well. Pete,
yes,
what
there
about
has.
The Absolute Radio?
The Absolute Radio will be bringing you a live Barclays Premier League commentary match from 3 o'clock this Saturday. Clark Carlisle and Jim Proudfoot in the commentary box, the aforementioned commentary box at Stamford Bridge. It's going to be Chelsea versus Newcastle. I fancy a home win.
I've got something to plug as well. It's that time of year again, doing my first work in progress
show
of my next show. So if you want to come down to the Slaughtered Lamb in Clerkenwell from 7:30 to see me read notes off a bit of paper and not understand how to use PowerPoint, then get yourself down there. It's free as well, and Beck Hill was on too.
Sounds like the funniest thing you've done.
Yeah, probably will be.
Just that's watching it. You trying to work a HDMI cable.
Yeah.
I'd pay money to watch that.
Don't have one.
That's it. Take a bow, Pete.
Okay.
Take a bow, Luke.
Goodbye.
And take a bow, Jim.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from me also.
You know what you've done.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.